Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to Nerdist Podcast number 636. The Fun Comfortable Tour is happening. Chicago, let's see what's coming up. St. Louis, there's going to be some dates in Boston, Philly, New York, Chicago. Did I say Chicago already?
I think that was the first one you said.
All right, well, now it'll be the last one I said, even though there's other cities. Also Madison and Milwaukee and
Columbus.
Minneapolis and Columbus. Ooh, you're good.
I know you're at Columbus because my boyfriend's from Cleveland, and a couple of people said, Chris Hardwick's coming to Columbus and not Cleveland.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I should, you know, when you go to
really
Ohio,
far.
you should hit all the three C's: Cincinnati, Columbus,
yeah,
and Cleveland.
I thought they were closer, and
they're not.
Very
they're
far.
Not. It's far, yeah, away. Mike Furman and I toured. We played the big C's all the way down,
okay,
Ohio. I don't mean the cancer cities. I mean like the Cincinnati,
all
Cleveland,
their main cities. Yeah,
yeah, all the main cities. So go to funcomfortabletour.com to get tickets and info for that. Are you doing anything that you want to promote?
Just the other podcasts. I mean, Moshe Kasher just started doing a really cool thing on Houndtall.
Houndtall, yeah.
Yeah, so he, you know, every episode is about a specific topic. So, like, the latest episode was gay issues. So he set up an account where you can text in and donate to different charities. So, like, this was the Trevor Project, which helps. It's like a hotline for people to call who are having issues. And it's just really interesting. It's really good.
I
and
love
I'm
that,
really
Moshe Kasher.
Yeah. I think it's just such a great idea.
Great
so
job.
Every episode,
great job, Moshe Kasher.
One.
I just saw Moshe and Natasha up at Sketchfest.
Yep.
Natasha was hilarious at Bring the Rock. They're good people. Listen to Houndtall.
Moshe yes, Kasher's it's a really podcast. Fun podcast. It's monthly on Thursdays, first Thursday of each month.
Now, this episode is Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement. Jemaine, you may know as Jemaine from Flight of the Conchords.
Yep.
And Taika, who you may not know as well, but Taika directed a lot of the episodes of Flight of the Conchords. And there's a sort of New Zealand comedy cluster. And, you know, Brett and Jemaine and Taika. And so they were all in that together. And they just released a film called What We Do in the Shadows, which is an amazing, amazing vampire comedy movie.
Yeah. I've seen the trailer. I want to see it so bad. I haven't seen it yet.
It's in theaters in LA and New York now, but they also have a Kickstarter page to help get a wider release. We're going to link in the description on the site because Kickstarter does not have shortened URLs that
really
you can remember.
I hate it so much. Because I wish we could just say Kickstarter/what you do in the show.
They should let you customize the URL.
I know. I don't
know
why they don't do it.
Kickstarter for a company that it basically wants to get the word out as much as possible. Let's kickstart customized URLs.
For real.
For Kickstarter.
And their Kickstarter ends tomorrow, by the way.
Okay, the Kickstarter ends tomorrow.
Thursday at the end of the day. So donate soon.
Jemaine and Taika were on at midnight and were absolutely hilarious. And if you're a Flight of the Conchords fan, then there's definitely talk of that in this episode,
yep,
as well. And just basically a group of guys who essentially do what they want because they like working on fun stuff and don't really seem to bend to give in to any type of corporate structure that would tell them to do things in a different way. Like, they really just set out, they made their own stuff. And, you know, so if you're a fan of theirs at all, you know, by all means, support the Kickstarter and support what they do, because it is superior comedy that should be spread to the world. This is episode number 636 with Jemaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You guys were amazing on that midnight program. But that was so much fun because the show really works best when everyone's fucking around as much as possible. And I don't know, I haven't seen how we're going to cut that down to 21 minutes, but I will probably just watch the
extended version.
The online one.
They're going to put online.
If you're out there and you watch the show, yeah.
Just the director's cut of At Midnight.
You should skip Thursdays altogether on television and watch it online.
Don't tell people to do that.
Guys, just skip it.
No, don't.
Don't need to watch it.
No, people still need to watch
free
TV so
on
we can
Comedy
keep
Central's
doing the show.
Website.
You don't understand how television works.
I think I do.
Well, then when we're
if
both
enough
not working,
people like it,
work.
It stays on.
From what I understand, television doesn't.
I did exactly what happened last night when I said, oh, I have a link to What Happens in the Shadows. I'm going to go watch it at home. And you go, well, don't watch it if you're really tired. And I had a 13-hour day. I went home and I fell straight asleep.
I told you not to do that.
No, you said not to watch it tired.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not really what I meant.
Oh, okay.
I mean, actually watch it.
Get home right now.
Have a coffee.
You're too tired.
But I'm super excited. When I told Kyle I had a link to it, he got real jealous. Yeah, but you'll have to wait till mid-February when it comes out. Well, it comes out February 7th.
Out, yeah, in L.A.
Yeah, it comes out this weekend in L.A., well, Kyle.
13th.
February 13th in L.A.
But to the listeners of this podcast, it comes out this weekend.
Yeah, so you'll be able to see it this weekend. Yeah.
Well, it's still weekend. February the 13th, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know about that. Let's just check your
change. Matt doesn't know how TV works, so he may not know how calendars work.
Like how time
whatever
works.
Whatever date you want it to be, right?
No, it does not. Whatever
all you got to do is take the Enterprise at maximum warp around the sun. And it's whatever time you need it to be.
Matt likes Star Trek a lot.
I did notice that. He is holding two Star Trek DVDs.
Ready to go.
Why did you bring the...
I didn't bring them. I forgot to take them from when Will Wheaton brought them to me.
Oh, okay. Why don't you have Jermaine and Taika sign the Star Trek DVDs just for fun?
As characters from...
Just sign it the way you think Worf would sign it.
May you have victory in battles, Worf.
That's exactly how we do it. This is amazing.
See?
No, he's a big fan of that as well.
Are you a closet Star Trek fan, Jermaine?
I'm not a huge fan. I'm not,
it's not
closeted. But I did once go to a How to Speak Klingon lecture.
Oh, yeah. I've been to that.
You were there?
Okay. We went to that.
Yeah, sure, we went to that, of course.
Sure, we went to a Klingon.
Not much happens in our town, so there's a big deal.
In Wellington?
Yeah, in Wellington.
Now, is this was the whole lecture in Klingon, or did he say...
No, it wasn't immersive. Okay.
They weren't cooking you the food of Klingon.
It wasn't Rosetta Stone Klingon series.
It was like a linguist specialist in fake languages and...
Especially gave Klingon.
Especially Klingon. Gave us a big lesson on all the consonants and vowels and how you put them together. I switched off instantly.
It sounded a bit like this. In Klingon, there are 39 words for war.
I love when people do American accents.
That's a good American accent.
It's not bad, but they all end up sounding like Liam Neeson.
Well, what's funny is if you watch, like, the
I'm American, okay?
That was good. I thought that was great. Yeah,
but then you start to hear a little, I have a particular skin of... Like, you can hear it, like, creeping in a
what
little bit.
What I loved about Pierce Brosnan's last sort of turn as James Bond in Diner of the Day, he just stops attempting a British accent, and it's just full Irish.
Really?
Fully Irish.
He doesn't give a shit anymore. A
friend of mine has a great theory about New Zealanders trying to do American accents. I think it's true. Especially, we just put the letter R on the end of everything.
And, we don't you can hear it in the R's.
You can hear it in Xena. So it's like, Xena!
Get your weapons!
It is I, your father.
Xena warrior, princess.
With tequila and soda.
New Zealand is one place that I am so... dying to go to, but it's far enough away that I don't ever have enough time. But there was a period of time where you and Brett were coming back and forth like every other week.
Yeah, so you could have done it.
Okay. No, but you got used to it.
Mm. It takes 11 hours from LA, so you know
it's just sleep.
It's not really worth going there for a weekend.
No,
11 hours. That's all it takes.
Yeah, from LA.
That's like flying to London.
But I wouldn't go to London for a weekend either. Like I wouldn't want to go for.
No one's implying you should go for a weekend, but I know for a fact that we have 4 weeks off in the summer.
What we know is it's possible.
It's not possible, guys. It's not. But I always work.
Anything's possible if you dream, Chris.
What's the comedy scene in New Zealand?
You're looking at it, man.
That's it? You guys are holding up. You're holding up the entire.
No, but a lot of the people. I'd say our movie is maybe a quarter of it. The people in our movie.
Yeah. Was your film at all funded by the New Zealand government? The way that Reese got Short Poppies funded.
No, but that's how most films have gunded funded.
Gunded is how we call it down there.
you don't pronounce, you pronounce R's at the end of words and then F's or G's.
I need the gynancing now.
It's gyne if you want to do that.
Yeah.
For your gilm.
Gack off.
Aww. Oh, but what? So why
was,
did you...
That was Klingon for something very bad.
why did you not get national funding to make the movie?
We wanted to... It would be too difficult. You have to hand in a script and then give you notes on the script.
Very but bureaucratic.
We would have had to hand in the script and say, we're not actually going to do this script.
Oh, gotcha.
Can we make it?
But you're not going to make this? Yes, that's true.
We're going to kind of make something kind of like this, but not this.
So in short, can we just have a bunch of money?
Yeah.
We tried that. We said, can we just have a bunch of money? And they said no, so we had to look somewhere else.
No, we said, if you know we're making a movie and we don't tell you anything about it, will you give us any money? And they said no.
And you're like, how about now? Like, if you ask them, maybe it was just that moment.
Oh, we didn't think of going back and saying
how about now is a really good, that's a good way to, you know, because a percentage of the time it'll work.
What's the percentage you found?
Percentage?
It's low, but it's measurable.
Okay.
Yeah, but if it happens to be that 1 or 2%, then free money.
Yeah.
That's the money. It just came in.
No, that's an alert. Sorry. Bless you.
We all know that's an alert, Matt.
Sorry.
I think the first time I just met you for the first time last night.
Yeah.
But
so you remember that well.
I do remember it well because it just
happened.
What
was it like?
It was really refreshing.
Tell us about it.
Taika was very nice.
Was anything like you expected me to look?
I had really built it up in my head.
What were you expecting?
Something like an Alexander Skarsgård. Type of a Viking-esque, flow, like a shock of blonde hair.
See, I was thinking Once Were Warriors. Like, that's what I thought was coming.
You were closer.
Blonde. Yeah, you were closer.
Jermaine, I met...
Never been a warrior.
Jermaine,
I don't want to hear the story. Sure, see, everyone listen.
Jermaine, I met in... It was Bumbershoot. I think maybe like...
Seattle.
It's been Seattle. Maybe like 2005 or something. I think it was 2005.
Wow.
You, Dimitri, and Brett had just done the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, I think, with Dimitri. Mm-hmm. And Dimitri was supposed to perform at Bumbershoot, and you guys just came to Seattle, and he said to the booker, this woman Lisa Langang, who booked the comics for Bumbershoot, can I give some of my stage time to these guys?
Yeah, he just donated it.
Because they're really funny, and she said okay. And then you guys destroyed, like it crushed, and that was the first time I met you guys. And then all of a sudden after that, it felt like stuff happened very quickly for you.
I saw you in the audience looking at us, crushing a can with your hand as you watched us.
Furman was trying to crush one too, but he's just too nice. He's just too nice.
Because we also played with Hard and Firm in the Vancouver... the comedy festival in Vancouver.
Yes,
and we played in this bar, but they still let the patrons of the bar in, and they still played the music that the bar would play.
So it was the worst of both worlds because the tough thing about doing comedy with music is that you still have to pay attention if you're an audience member if you want to enjoy the show, but. We were basically just being treated like bands.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the club
If there was a band, they would at least turn the music off.
So we didn't even get that respect.
Yeah.
So the front of the bar was playing like club music. And then we were, and then here's, Mike and I are on stage with our slideshow of dinosaurs in front of American flags and people in Canada not understanding why it was. But the fact that we were all in it together made it fun. And we took one of my favorite photos of all time that I've ever taken. You guys found an old-timey, like, Klondike photograph-type place where you put on the old-timey clothes, and it's, like, old-timey photography. And it was me and Mike and you and Brett and Todd Barry.
And we all...
Oh, you want to do this? Okay.
We all got... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was like that. He was the only one who wouldn't get dressed in period costume.
He wouldn't get dressed up. So we all got in characters, and we all looked great. I think you were a fur trapper, and like everything. Everyone looked like who they would have been.
Yeah, sure.
And there's Todd Barry standing in the middle with his sunglasses, like, on his shirt, just folding his arms defiantly. So it looked
but
like...
That's who
I'm just
going to
wear my polo shirt. Yeah.
Whatever. Hey, man. Okay. Hey, man, I don't believe in this kind of photography. But that was really fun.
Oh, yeah, I'll be in it.
Yeah. No, of course.
I just rationalized that Todd Barry time jumped to bring us back to the future, like that there was some sort of a weird time jump.
You had to make a story that explained that photo.
I had to explain the photo in some way. But it was fun. But then after that,
no more photos. No more calls.
10 years of no photos together.
This marks the 10th anniversary of the last time.
Get one. This
we were
is
able
it.
To take photos.
We should do this every 10 years or so.
Get the gang back together for one of those photos. No one.
Let's go get some waistcoats.
Right now.
Yeah. Some bowler hats.
Watch chain, guys.
Yeah. Every 10 years, we'll do a different era.
Oh, yeah, 10 years later than that original
era. So we'll keep the ratio same. So early 1900s will be the next one. And then
now it's the 19-teens.
Now it's the teens. Yeah.
19s?
19-teens. 19-teens. 19-teens.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I think one of the things that a lot of Americans didn't understand, and I'm not just going to talk about Concords, but I do want to talk about it a little bit.
Is their accent.
You do have accents. Yeah. But also that you had built up, like, you had, I think, maybe 6 or 7 years together by the time you got to the States, mm-hmm. right? You had already, like, your act was really solid when you came. You developed it in, you know, London. You guys had a BBC show.
Yeah.
And you had been doing festivals and stuff. And so it sort of seemed like by the time you guys came over here and started working a bunch, it was already like, oh, fuck, we've been doing this for like 7 years.
A little bit. And everyone who's like, let's check out these new guys. We're not new guys, we're old guys.
But was that what made it difficult to go back and do a third season of the show? Because the first season of the show, I imagine, like, this is all the
stuff.
Are you
going to say the first season was good?
No, I'm not going to say that at all.
You're going to just imply it.
No, I'm not going to imply it at all. Because I remember running into you during the editing process, and you seemed very unhappy with it, because you were just like, you know, we did the first season and all that stuff. A lot of it was already written. And then we had to, in a very short amount of time, write brand new stuff that we didn't have time to workshop and then just put on.
It was more that we had to do it simultaneous to writing a show. And that it didn't seem possible. But we hadn't really thought that through. We never thought we were going to make more than the pilot, really. We still had our apartment. We were still paying rent back home because we thought they were going to send us home anytime. And 2 years later, we're like, we're still making this thing.
I heard these stories were like, oh, SNL.
Don't listen to those stories.
No, none of them are true.
No, what stories?
There was one story I heard that when your show got picked up, you guys were eating lunch.
That's true.
And your agent called and said, your show got picked up. And you were like, that's great, we're eating. Can you just call us later?
You must have heard that from our agency.
Okay. The other thing I heard was that SNL asked you to play and you guys didn't want to do it.
We were so busy, Chris. I didn't. Another thing is that the only talk show that plays in New Zealand is Letterman. And so the only one we wanted to do was Letterman. We hadn't heard of anyone else. They'd say, hey, we got you on this talk show. Is it Letterman? It's Conan O'Brien. We don't know him. And we do it. And then, you know, all the other ones, and we're just waiting for Letterman. We just want to be on Letterman. That's the one that's on New Zealand. And then we finally got to be on Letterman. The night that it played in New Zealand, they put the rugby on instead.
No! No.
On purpose, I believe.
You think so? Just to be like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
It was Conan's people arranged it.
Well, I'm very aware of Conan now.
Was that process fun, though? I mean, like, was it... Because you guys blew up pretty fast in the States. And but I always kind of felt like it just always seemed like from the outside perspective and that you guys were like, yeah, I don't know. You know, that you kind of didn't really want all the fanfare.
It wasn't... It was, you know, we only ever did it for fun. So suddenly it was a job and a very intense job.
Yeah.
Try and generate hours of fun.
Right.
Yeah. And it took... We just never had a break. That was the problem.
And so, but you guys toured last year with the 2013. You guys toured with the Oddball tour.
Yeah, yeah. That's fun. Touring's fun. That's always a good time.
Did you guys write a bunch of new stuff for the tour, or did you get?
Yeah, we always write a few new things. Yeah, a few new songs at least. We have to balance it with the ones they want to hear.
Right.
And here's some you don't want to hear.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But I saw Beck a couple months ago at the Orpheum downtown, and he came out and he started the show and he was like, "I'm going to play a handful of songs that you don't know, but if you sit through those, then I'm going to play all the shit you want to hear." And he did. He played like five or six songs, and then they stopped down for a sec, and then he played Devil's Haircut, Loser, like literally everything.
Well, it's a funny balance, because with comedy, people always want new things, and with music, they always want what they know. So when you do comedy music, what do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
And it's also, every song is basically a sketch, and if people don't buy into the sketch in the first 10 seconds, they have to sit through it for 4 minutes.
Is that how you felt?
I always felt that way.
Seattle?
Yeah. What was that? Oh, she just told you to mention the Kickstarter. I can hear.
We can do that right now.
Kickstarter.
No, I'm just reminding them.
Yeah.
We just were reminded by our publicist.
Don't you rampart us the way Bill Gates' publicist tried to. That did not go well for that guy.
I think it actually went fine for him. totally fine.
His life is exactly the same.
What was his Kickstarter one? What was he kickstarting?
Saving the world.
Yeah. He's making a new screensaver.
Everyone knows that's impossible. Just give money to us.
Were you guys in a comedy group before?
Yes, Tyker and I. Yes.
You guys have been together for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And Tyker and Brett were in a group together. And then we were in another group with all of us back in New Zealand. This all happened in New Zealand in the past.
It's a lot of partner sharing.
Yeah. Very incestuous comedy scene.
But when I first met you, you said, "Oh, well, this music thing is just one of the things. Like, I, you know, back
it's
home.
It's just one of my things.
It's just one of the many things."
Don't be dazzled, I said to you.
Just but one of my.
I have many other feathers in this cap. And then I skipped off, if I remember.
Why did he just want. He just ran off with his feather cap. It was a cap made entirely of feathers. But you, at the time, you had said, "Well, I make films back home, and you know, like this is more of a direction."
You remember so much.
I do.
Tyker and I did our comedy duo, Brett and Tyker, and another guy called Adam did their trio.
What's Adam doing now?
I don't know what Adam's up to. Actually, he's living in Auckland.
He's moved to a different town, so he's out of the circle.
He doesn't get to do these combos now.
How does the How does a comic in New Zealand, do you tour a lot to make money there, or can you do local shows to make money, or is
you get another job
you have
to make
get another
money
job to make money
and then you do that
go
you do that at night on a Thursday night, you do your comedy. Some people are making money now. It's getting bigger. There's a few TV shows.
We wouldn't really do a comedy night at a club. There's only one comedy club in our town, and it's one night a week.
Okay.
But
oh, wow.
we would put on a theatre show. So we'd do a theatre show for a month and then write another one and then hope we got some other kind of work. Yeah.
How long would you stop down between the two shows to write the next one?
There's often a few going.
And you develop over the course of the month. So the show would probably change quite a lot from beginning, from the start of the month to the end.
So what you're saying is it would have been a better idea to see you at the end of the month.
Yeah.
No.
The show's really great over there. But it's longer. It's a two-hour show by then.
But you're basically just anywhere you can figure out how to, whether it's like making a film or making a short film or doing a short set or putting on a theater show, you're basically just however you can get something out.
Yeah.
I guess so. I guess it seems like, I felt like that there was no one thing that you could have as a job that would pay you any money. So you've got to try everything. You've got to try and make films and do music, and you've got to do theatre shows and everything.
You know, the lifestyle's a lot easier in New Zealand than it is here, or in LA, Wellington versus LA anyway. You could survive with quite a little.
Right.
A little bit of money and just put things on for fun. And that's what we mostly did those things for.
Yeah, nothing matters. It's not like your career's
nothing
on the
matters,
line.
Man.
Nothing matters, man. It's comedy, man. You guys have lost your wave of comedy over here. You've got to be doing it for fun. It's just like a job for you guys.
By the way, I want to mention our Kickstarter.
Oh, by the way, we got no money.
Have you been to the States a lot?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot. As long as this guy has.
Taika directed some of the episodes of Concords.
Oh, okay.
The one with that Aziz Ansari as a uh-huh. racist fruit vendor.
Yeah. One of mine. New Zealand town.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the others. Great one with when you guys took acid.
Yeah. Pretty Prince of Parties music video was in that.
Now, why not take, so all of you as a group.
Real acid.
Real acid all
why not
the time.
Take all real acid and film that.
How so? But I can only imagine that HBO was probably
it just
like...
It sounds like we cut out the explanation of acid is dangerous because you just immediately changed gears.
No.
There's lots of footage of me flipping the fuck out and like trying to punch the brick. I'm sure HBO must have said to you guys at some, you know, like, come back and do a third season and you may have a pile of money. And
we said, I remember the call. It was Brett, James Bobin and I, and... Oh, really, I should have said me, Brett, and James Bobin. I think it's grammatically better.
That's right. We'll edit that.
Okay. Anyway, we're on the phone, Brett, James, and me, and HBO called, and they said, usually people think this is good news when they get this call, but I know you guys don't really want to keep doing this. Do you want us to tell you the amount of money that we're going to offer you? No, thanks. We didn't want to hear it because we knew it was going to be too big to resist.
But even that wasn't enough to get you to, even though you knew it was going to be a big amount of money.
It was important that we didn't hear it. If they had just managed to slip it into the conversation somehow,
yeah,
we might still live here.
I have all the respect in the world because I think 95% of the people would have been like, okay, let's do it. Why not? One more time. Who gives a shit, you know? Okay, let's do a fourth season, you know, until...
We could maybe done it if we had, you know, like a songwriter like Neil Diamond wrote for the Monkees. If we had Neil Diamond.
If you had Neil Diamond, it could have worked out.
Yeah.
But just so people understand what your years was like, it was write, shoot, edit.
But part of that would be... Write, record, write song, record song, write, edit, you know, like it was simultaneous things.
Yeah.
And you would have 100 days, and then we have a day off, and then another 100 days. Yeah. It's a long week.
Yeah. So for people, just so people don't...
If there's any union people listening, would you be able to investigate that?
Well, you're in so many unions, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
They're all like, well, you're not working for us.
Oh, you're on the 101 schedule, which is 100 days on, one day off. 100 days on, one day off. So after you guys backed away...
It was our own fault. It's because we wanted to control everything.
You want to? Oh,
we wanted to make sure we did the scripts and did the songs and, you know.
But that probably goes back to, I mean, when you guys were just making
ancient times.
When you guys were making films in ancient times, you were in control of everything. Like you guys did everything yourselves.
Yeah.
So does that? Are you better now at delegating and letting other people do things, or do you still feel like you need to do
no.
it all?
No.
No. No.
That's why this film took so long because we did everything ourselves again.
How long did it take?
We even did.
The shooting took about 5 weeks.
Shooting took 5 weeks. Yeah.
The editing took
about 7 months.
14 months.
Jeez.
Off by half.
There's lots of like archival drawings and, you know, medieval woodcuts and stuff like that in the film. And Tyker and I...
We couldn't trust anyone else to do them. That.
So we couldn't afford to pay them. We had no budget.
So we stayed up till about 7 a.m. every morning, all night long, just in a little room, drawing... Medieval woodcuts and
photoshopping our faces,
fake etchings of our faces, drawing each other. It's the weirdest, the weirdest thing. Photoshopping old photos.
I got pretty good at Photoshop just over that time.
I got really good at old woodcuts.
Now, did this make you take on woodcut as a hobby, or do you
something
see
I could do?
Woodcut
if there's
again?
Another film that requires it, I'm probably the world expert in fake woodcuts.
Well, I think that's another layer that will make people.
excited to see the film is it's like to know that that much meticulous care went into every little piece of everything and that you guys made it yourselves.
Really? You think that's what people want to see?
I think they like to see that. I really do think they like to see that.
A fringe group love to see that.
No, I think people like to know that you give a shit about what you're doing. And I think people like to know, because if you're asking an audience to care about your thing, I think it's important that they think you that they know that you care about it yourself, and then it's not disposable to you, which is why, you know, I think it's good for people to hear the reason that, because, you know, they're still rabid Concords fans, and for people to know that, you know, in order to keep going with it, because I'm sure they're like, you're abandoning me by not doing, you know, your audience probably feels like why aren't you there anymore? It's good for people to know, like, this was slowly killing us.
Yeah.
That's why we
would have died anyway.
At some point.
How long conception of the movie to actually getting it going? How long did that take? Like, had that always been kicking around in your head of doing a Spinal Tap for vampires?
8 years? 9 years?
Yeah, we had this. Okay, so we were back in the day
when we were,
okay.
olden times. When we were actually poor.
Paint so a picture.
Like 700, 800.
Okay. We're doing lots of shows. We're doing lots of shows and stuff that we're writing ourselves. Me and Brett, we're doing our music. Me and Taika, we're doing our comedy duo. Taika was making short films. And in the same month, Taika and I got funding for this film, this What We Do in the Shadows, some interviews with some vampires.
This is 2005.
Wow. We got funding. And then the next week, Brett and I were asked to do a special for HBO, and Taika was nominated for an Oscar. It was like the same for one of his short films. And then suddenly we were busy.
Oh my God.
We're busy for 8 years.
So then it's basically like Boyhood for vampires.
Yeah. Every year we would email each other. There's like an email or two a year saying, we've got to do this vampire film. Have you seen this? Like a new Underworld's just come out. We've got to do this.
We've got to ride those coattails.
Let's get it. What's this Twilight thing? We've got to beat these guys.
Come on. They're going to come out in 3 years. Let's get this done.
3 or 4 Underworlds later.
Yeah. And then, so 8 years after our first conversation about it, wow. we finally had finished a script. We wrote like, slowly wrote over email and now whenever we saw each other over those 7 or 8 years.
We pitched it here, but we wanted the people, that, you know, from the New Zealand comedy scene in it. So we would, you know, we were going
to be like, so who's in it? We'd be like, our friend Johnny. Oh, okay. Great. Okay, Johnny who? Okay, Johnny? I love great. Johnny. Johnny's great. No. Johnny Bruff, he's a gardener in Auckland.
But also a comedian.
But he's also
very
really funny.
One of the funniest people I've ever seen.
And,
okay.
So he does funny gardening? No.
Even if you mention vampire films.
He's pretty serious about his gardening, but when he's on stage, he's
even when you mention vampire films, a lot of the time their eyes would glaze over.
Depends with what stage of the vampire craze
you're
in.
What film did you get nominated for? What was your short film that you got nominated for?
It was called Two Cars, One Night. It was the first short film I made years and years ago. And it sort of, yeah.
Oh,
out of the gate. Straight away. I didn't even want to be a short filmmaker. A filmmaker. And so I did that. And suddenly you've just got, that's got to be your job when that happens. And then so it has been.
Do you think, oh, I might be good at this?
I was like, oh, everyone's telling me I'm good at this. I may as well do it.
I know I'm not good, but everyone says I'm good.
Fooling everyone.
I have to give the people what
or
they want.
I guess
want.
The Academy wants me to do this.
I don't think the Academy wanted you to do a vampire mockumentary.
Well, they wouldn't say that publicly, but no. I feel like they really actually did want that to happen. So it took that long. Do you want some...
Do you need help?
Yeah, I'm good. Oh, no, I didn't help.
We're very weak. We're both trying to open bottles of water.
In New Zealand, the bottle turns the other way.
The opposite way. That's boo. Boo.
Wonder water.
I don't understand how you guys get hydrated. None of your bottles open.
We drink from the waterfalls.
Of course. Come to New Zealand.
It's Lefty Lucy up here?
So crazy. If people go to New Zealand, what should they see in New Zealand? Should they go to Wellington?
Us,
should they go to Auckland?
Us.
Should they go we'll see show just you,
you
guys?
They should go to the South Island, which is a very beautiful place.
It's the really beautifully CGI'd island.
So you basically walk into a studio that's all blue screen, and then
it looks, it's amazing. It doesn't look like it's.
It's a little more fake. Rivendell. Uh-huh. If you go in the North Island, it's a bit more Mordor.
Okay,
Mordor.
Yeah. Nature. I'd just say this. Just, if you're into nature, I don't know. Get so many there. Good nature things here as well.
Oh, true. You got trees and mountains too.
Yeah.
Rivers?
People want to come down there to see that. You've got great trees and mountains here.
But we see them here.
Yeah, but
see
these. I bet you haven't seen them here.
We have glaciers.
We don't have glaciers. We just have...
We have them for a limited time only.
Like the McRib sandwich. Yeah. We have them in Alaska. We have them in Alaska. I guess we kind of have them up in Alaska. But,
okay. Okay.
But that's far. That's far. Okay. It was time. I'd rather go to New Zealand. What is it about New Zealand that people... Because I think in a lot of Americans' mind, they're like, nah, Australia, New Zealand, same thing. You know, like I think... And your flags are somewhat similar.
Well, again, you can use... Hobbit and Lord of the Rings references. New Zealand is, you know, Rivendell,
mm-hmm.
Hobbiton.
Yeah.
Australia is Mad Max.
Okay. So it's just a barren wasteland where
it's
people...
A barren wasteland.
Yeah. Most of Australia is...
Well, I mean, a shit ton of that continent is
unusable. Yeah. Yeah, just dirt.
But there's nice bits around the inch.
Yeah, there was a reason they sent criminals there. Yeah, take it.
But they didn't reckon on them going to the beaches.
Right. They thought, they'll never
just get stay
up
in the middle.
Oh, they seem to be multiplying. Is there any way we can cut off the water?
Was that Liam Neeson?
Yep.
That cut off
Liam
the
Neeson
water.
Trying to be an American. You also introduced me to one of my other favorite New Zealand fellows, Neil Finn. Because he was at your show at the Orpheum years ago, and that was one of the greatest things. I'm the hugest Crowded House fan, hugest Neil Finn fan.
Mm. Oh, we've got another friend who's an equally huge Crowded House and Neil Finn fan.
We'll have to put you against each other.
You and Ian Morris.
Oh.
He can name, in a creepy way, all of Neil's children.
I just know Liam.
Okay, it's one of them.
Yeah.
Half creepy.
You're half creepy. Well,
the reason I know this is because Liam released an album.
Yeah.
So that's why I know I know Liam. But
no, this was before they'd grown up.
Oh, yeah.
Before they were born.
Nope, he wins. Yeah, he wins 100%. So the movie's coming out February 13th in L.A. and New York, and then it's coming out wider. Well,
depending on...
You're basically...
Is it depending on the Kickstarter?
Did you say Kickstarter? We do have a Kickstarter.
Signal,
hey,
mentioned
listen,
this Kickstarter.
Hey, you just imagine 30 years ago, before, you had an opportunity to get all this original Spinal Tap merchandise, for instance. Mm-hmm. You didn't do it because you didn't go on their Kickstarter site because there was no Kickstarter site.
That's right.
You would be kicking yourself.
30 years from now.
You would start kicking yourself for not going on Kickstarter.
Vampire mockumentary merch.
That's right. So it's kind of a merch store Kickstarter. We're just selling merch
rewards.
And we're trying to use the money to spread the movie further over the country.
So just
that's LA, New York, kind of like those two centers of like a kind of virus that's spreading. And
right. You want them to spread to the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you call that? The patient one. What do you
patient zero?
Patient zero. Yeah. Well, patient zero in LA and then patient one in New York will patient zero equal?
I don't know.
But that's where it starts.
So you're saying that L.A. is the monkey.
Yes.
And New York is the dude in the movie theater. That finds
someone who flew from L.A. to New York on the plane, and everyone on the plane saw the film and infected everyone else.
So
New York
is Patrick Dempsey? Because I think that was Patrick Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
And is Kickstarter...
Who was that monkey?
The opposite of Dustin Hoffman? He doesn't want to see Dustin.
He encourages it. So we're going to... So, I mean, look. If... The next week, after the 13th, on the 20th...
Dustin Hoffman is a bad internet connection, so you can't get onto Kickstarter.
On the 13th, so that's in New York and LA. The next week, it's in 10 more cities... For instance,
just name 10. I don't even know.
I don't know what they are, and I don't want to get them wrong and then disappoint everyone in those cities.
I want to say at some point it's got to open in Chicago because I love saying Chicago.
It's going to be in Chicago.
Okay.
I don't know when. There are a couple that I remember. But, and then if the Kickstarter is successful, then it will spread across the country.
And then people will be able to see it.
and they'll be able to see it, and they'll have posters and t-shirts.
And go, and hopefully they like it because they're going to have these t-shirts.
So, just out of curiosity, what are the just so people understand, what are the financials of, in terms of if it's opening in LA and New York, and you want to open it in three more cities? Is it, you know?
The financials are you have to be very rich.
Okay.
Open a film anywhere in just in the States is a huge thing because you're competing against giant films.
Well, I should say that this isn't a studio film, so right. We don't have the $20 million budget that
right.
Most comedy films that...
People don't understand, like, the P&A, which is print and advertising.
By people, he means me.
Okay.
It's like, the way that they bring out films, and, there's so much money that gets spent on releasing a film after it's made, because people go, hey, haven't you guys finished the film? Yeah, we finished the film, but... It's actually, just getting it out there.
You still have to pay. Theaters won't put it on unless you have ads in the paper. So we have to...
So I heard that, like, the interview...
Do you have to get some money for the ads in the paper?
The interview do the theaters know that people don't read things? 30 or 40... No, I think the interview cost $40 million to make. Uh-huh. And after that, they spent about $70 million advertising and putting it out there.
By comparison, our film costs less than $1 million, and we
are spending even less than
that. we're getting a Kickstarter to raise $400,000. But it's playing in a lot of cinemas who liked it, and they're going to put it on.
So right. kind of like your.
I wish North Korea hated us.
You'd get so much press.
Yeah.
If someone pretending to be North Korea hacked your film.
North Korea hated vampires and didn't want the truth to get out there.
Kim Jong-un is probably doing vampire research to figure out how...
Vampire army.
Yeah, to raise a vampire army. To become
eight-year-old
vampire.
Vampires.
Okay, then we just need a big UV light.
That's all. So we're a step
check.
Let's get on with it.
We'll just aim it. We'll fly it over and shine it down.
UV bomb.
So you'll probably be in like the, like Austin has like Alamo Draft House, like places like that, like really cool theaters.
Cool ones and not cool ones.
We don't discriminate.
You really don't know anything about
anyone.
Is there an amount of money I could give you guys that allows me to eventually get a DVD or Blu-ray?
Eventually, you'll get a DVD. Yep.
A DVD. We don't offer a Blu-ray.
Not yet.
A Blu-ray is going to come out, but we don't have it on our Kickstarter. We're not allowed.
Understood.
And then, so when will it come out? Is there a video demand on demand plan?
Yeah, I think that's April.
Okay. But people should go see it in the theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes, hopefully we're organizing this thing.
No, I'm trying to encourage them to do that
so that
they don't just go, wait till April till it comes out on the thing. Because seeing it on a big screen will allow you to see the detail of the woodcuts.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, the fine grain of the paper.
Each of the little lines.
And I think if you get the chance to see a comedy.
You got to see with a crowd.
You got to see with a crowd of people.
More infectious. Yeah. Yeah, it was really.
It's the cross hatching they need to see.
They see that at home on a 4K television, but go to the theater for the experience of the laughter.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it. It's so like when you see old comedies that you just watched at home by yourself. When you finally see them on a big screen, and you just get the experience of like, oh my god, this movie's even funnier than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Like like Back to the Future or like Ghostbusters. When I finally saw those on the big screen, I was like, holy shit. Everyone's really, it's a fun experience. So kids out there, if you're in one of these cities, go see it at the theater. Go laugh with
people. Kickstart it. Like, it would give money to it.
First
so
of all,
it can get
give money to
well,
it.
Well, no, well, so it's still coming out in a lot of cities. So we'll publicize those.
As soon as you know.
What's happening?
Your interference,
Chris. Oh,
it's
not anymore? No. Okay, good.
You know what? You should leave that interference in the podcast because I think it's what happened.
Do you
also... You know when
he's a documentarian, so
he likes everything to be real. Yeah.
I heard I went on a plane, one of those little planes where you sit next to the guy, the pilot.
Yeah.
They call it the pilot guy.
The pilot,
all
the pilot
girls
guy?
Sit next to the guy,
guy driving the plane,
the driving guy,
the plane driver.
And he told me that the reason you have to turn your phone off in the plane is because it messes with their headphones and it goes in their headphones, and that's why.
Huh.
Is did that, you know that?
I didn't know that. I heard it was just that they weren't sure. And so they're like, well, let's just have everyone turn them off.
anyway.
That may be another reason.
Well, but if you're sitting next to the pilot on a plane, then you're on a much smaller plane.
That's true.
But on a large commercial airliner, I don't know if people sitting back in, you know, in row 20.
But then they'd have to say, okay, from row 20 on, you can leave your phones on.
And guess what? They can charge a premium for that, right? Yeah. So you could get the
economy comfort plus phone.
That's right. So cellular and non cellular, which they could charge more money for. Do you because you're involved in every step of everything that you most of the stuff that you work on?
Well, just stuff that I'm in charge of. When I do other people's things, I just
Are you good with that? Are you good with just being an actor? Do you like just being a performer?
It's much more relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're good at doing that.
I love relaxing.
But you
you're
say
great
that,
at relaxing.
Look at me.
I know, but you say that. Time. You are one of the more laid-back people I know. But I also think your work ethic when you're on a project doesn't suggest that you're lazy.
Yeah, I'm too worried about the shame that will follow.
Right. Oh, that's the fire under your feet, is the potential shame factor.
Yeah, so I try and work hard on those things.
And then are you good at, once you're done with something, like...
Letting it go.
Letting it go. Done. Move on to the
next. No, both Tucker and I would probably re-edit the movie forever.
Well, how do you finish then?
Run out of money.
Deadlines.
And deadlines, yeah.
I think most people have said that, though. When
they'd want to change things, yeah. I try not to watch the film anymore.
You don't watch it? You can't watch it anymore?
Just now and then.
Just in case you see something they'd like to change, you know?
Yeah. It drives you crazy.
Yeah, it does. It always drives you crazy.
I do like, so what I'm gathering is that you're able to go.
Also, we've watched it over.
You've watched
times.
It over 100 times.
Probably.
But it's kind of funny that you guys were able to go, like, don't tell me how much money we would have gotten paid. Don't show me this thing so I don't have to. You're kind of creating this protective wall of, like, I know how I'm going to react to these things, so I'm just going to take myself out of the situation so it doesn't happen.
It's like drugs. It's like someone who's gone off drugs. Don't offer me that.
Because I know what's going to happen.
When you guys were shooting, so you had a script, but did you, when you went into a scene, were you just like, here's the beats we have to hit, go?
Exactly, yeah. We had the script. We didn't show it to the actors.
You just were like, see if they get it right.
Yeah, and we went into the scenes, and then it would say, okay, so we're just going to cover you in blood, and you just lay down there on the floor and don't move for the rest of the scene. And you don't have to come back tomorrow or the next day. So it's really like, just, you know, we wanted it to be as real as possible, the reactions. But the actors, they're all really good at improvising.
Yeah.
And I'd say 95% of the film's improvised and the rest are stunts.
That's crazy.
Are you already working on whatever the next thing is?
Yeah, we're writing on an anthology show. We're writing an anthology show for HBO. We don't know if it'll ever be made, but that's what we've been doing lately.
Really? Mm-hmm. Have you watched Black Mirror yet?
Yes.
This is like a comedy version. I haven't seen Black Mirror myself.
Black Mirror is kind of it's thematically tied together. Ours isn't, other than it's funny.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So we have different actors in every episode, or the same people playing different characters in every episode?
Either.
Okay.
Whatever goes. Whoever's available.
Whoever the best gardener is.
Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, I grew up loving Twilight Zone and, you know, all those things like Night Gallery. And those are, it's just cool to be able to do something that every episode is different. World.
I feel like they really nailed technology.
So good.
In Black Mirror. Like, they... It's not, because a lot of times when a film goes, this is the slightly future world, the technology is always weird and clunky, but they've actually created brilliant, simple, aesthetically pleasing technology.
Yeah. See the one where you can record your day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
The grain.
It's really good twists in those.
Well, amazing. And then I was also starting to notice that there are little things that appear, and like something that's a main story in one episode will be on the TV in the background in another episode, and there's songs recur. Like, I really hope, I really hope that they ultimately there's something that it's all leading to that you don't expect. That the whole show is like a meta episode where it's all going to tie together in some crazy way.
It is really good. Yeah, the Prime Minister one was. That's the first thing I saw. With the Prime Minister's dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to spoil it for Jermaine.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
So when did you pitch? Are you making the pilot, or you just pitched it?
We've written a few episodes, and then we've got to hand them in.
Oh, that's fun.
But that may mean that you have to come to the States more.
Yeah. No, this is easier.
That may mean we to get money.
We don't have a whole lot of songs. This is like a normal TV show, so it doesn't have an accompanying album that goes with it.
And then a tour that goes with that.
Yeah.
And then a whole other side mythology. It's just... Is your family back? Your family's back in Wellington.
They're here.
Oh, they came with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time.
I have a child.
You do have a child.
He's 6 now.
He is 6.
Mm.
Oh my god!
You were about to say that.
I didn't. I was somewhere between 4 and 7. I wasn't exactly
sure. Yeah, that's right.
That's you nailed it, Chris.
You're right on.
Right there.
How has that much time gone by so fast?
Child arrived the other day.
That's a really hard question.
No, I know, but it. Oh man, I really feel like it doesn't in my brain feel like that long ago.
Yeah, that I had a tiny baby.
That it just had that it had happened. That like that either of you had children. That you and Brad had children, and now all of a sudden you said he's got a third kid. And
that's right.
It's fucking crazy. Guys, we're just getting older.
Yeah, that's happening.
Mm-hmm. It applies to us as well.
Were you going to say old and then you went older?
No. We're not old yet.
Okay.
We're not old yet.
We're not old.
I know there's a point where I'll go, I'm old now. We're just older. But giant leaps in the last, like, the last 8 years.
Brit is very fertile. No, sorry, I should say virile.
He's very virile.
Yeah, he's not fertile at all. I'm getting my facts mixed up. It was his female partner that gave birth to the children.
She's fertile.
She was the fertile one.
Their virility and fertility match each other very well
as
they are producing children. But
I just remembered what the email describing the birth was like. It was not Brett who. it was his wife.
That's it. Hannah's doing fine.
Was it?
But was, boy, is my penis sore.
From doing what?
I was imagining a baby coming from it.
Oh yeah, That would be just like a pod, like splitting open.
That one of the like an alien.
Yeah, exactly.
Pods on the ground.
That would be a podcast. That's a literal podcast. Was it your wedding I was at or Brett's wedding I was at? It was so long ago, I can't remember.
Oh, mine?
Was it yours?
Yeah.
It was at James's house, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Are you married?
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
What year is it? 2015.
Year.
3 years.
Oh wow. Do you have kids?
Yep.
How many kids?
I've got a 2.5-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old stepson.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Nice.
Best and worst of both worlds.
What do you mean by that?
It's interesting that an 18-year-old and a 2 or 3-year-old both think exactly the same way.
That they know everything?
They're both clumsy and they both have the complete disregard for other people's stuff and for rules.
There's a reason for the clumsiness. They're growing. They're always a little different size than they were the day before. Subtly.
Subtly, yeah. But it's great. No, I love it.
Is New Zealand generally a place where people are...
Have breed.
You guys people breed? You're allowed to reproduce?
In the rural areas.
You're allowed to reproduce.
Breeding. Yeah, breeding is rife.
Is the lifestyle pretty laid back? I mean, like everyone that I've met so far seems to be pretty like, oh yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, is that kind of a New Zealand thing? Or
I think this week in LA has been the most stressful week I've had for a year.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just the pace of it.
Like 6 interviews a day.
6 conversations a day.
Yeah. It's just flat out. Mm. It is pretty relaxing back there. It's really expensive in New Zealand now. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Very expensive.
Well, now I would imagine tourism is up 1,010% in the last 10 years.
Because of what we do in the shadows.
We do in the shadows. People want to...
They want to see the...
They heard you were going to think about making it.
That describes the process exactly. We were going to think about making it.
Would you ever want to live anywhere else but New Zealand? Is there any place else you guys would want to live?
Hawaii. That's in America. Hawaii. That's in your country of America.
It is. You like Hawaii? Which island do you like?
Oh, any of them?
Nah.
They're all great.
They're all
equally good. Try not to insult anyone from Hawaii. I like Oahu because I've got a lot of friends there. But, you know. Maui's also nice.
Yeah, I've lived in a few places, LA. I enjoyed it here. In New York, I love it there.
Greece. Lovely. You like Greece.
Spent quite a bit of time in Athens.
Yeah.
My in-laws are Athenians.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, no, there's quite a few good cities in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think I could live in the country anymore because I grew up in the country, and it wasn't for me.
Is there any part of you that's like, oh, I should, my kids should grow up in the country?
And yeah, I feel like he should, but then I would have to go there too.
You go and live in the country, I'm not.
I'll raise you via Skype. FaceTime. You need anything to FaceTime me.
Computer. You just put a computer in the middle of a field, and he has to check back in every 3 hours.
Six is about that age.
Yeah, Dad.
I'm doing
what
great.
What country experiences did you have today?
I am doing great.
Birth sheet. Help the sheet.
I think I would set up a Fortress of Solitude type ice castle for him in one of the glaciers, and I'd have a video screen in there which I appear to him and pretend they're messages I've sent to him
from another world
before my death.
Okay, so will
on
you
another
have,
planet?
Will you have faked your death? Because some of these you'll have to sort of communicate to him the way that Jor-El did, which is like, oh, now my consciousness is here, so I can actually talk to you and about things that are happening now.
I died many years ago. I'll say,
yeah. And then he won't question
you. You will have powers on this planet.
Oh, that's a bad idea. You can't tell him that because then he's gonna.
But very subtle ones.
0.5% stronger than most people.
He will be slightly
but
above average
all
at all sports.
A little bit smarter.
Do you want your kids?
You can do any job you want to. Not
except
any,
these
know.
Ones.
Here's a list of ones that are less likely to happen. You'll never be an Asian ferry boat master, like
chimney sweep.
You'll never be a chimney sweep.
You're not going to do that.
No. You'll never be.
It still exists. I had to call it chimney sweep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it a little kid?
Was it a little kid? Was it a little boy?
They stuff him in there.
Was it a little white English kid?
Did he have a Cockney accent?
He did not have a Cockney accent.
But that made a problem.
The cleaner looked like it was fucking straight out of Mary Poppins, like the thing they were using to clean the flute. I was like, wow. It hasn't changed, huh?
They still use those.
That's the pinnacle of that technology.
A brush, a chimney brush.
A toothbrush.
Well, is there anything else you guys want to plug or promote while you're here?
I think that we've plugging two things at the same time already.
What we do in the shadows.
And our Kickstarter to spread
which
across America.
Which are linked.
They are linked.
Thank God.
And what's the URL or what's how should people...
Oh, man. Kickstarter.com.
Just HTTP colon
forward slash
slash slash
what we do in the shadows.
No, I don't know.
slash.
What did you think was going to happen when you got to the second slash?
I thought I'd just remember it. It starts like this.
You were giving your brain a lot of credit that
you were.
You
know, like when you do the alphabet and you have to go from the start and it comes to you later? Like, oh,
I just have to remember A.
What's your least favorite part of the whole process?
Asking for money.
My favorite part, though, is granting terrific rewards on our Kickstarter page.
Like limited, yes. Like what? Like what? Like limited edition.
Like limited edition art prints.
And t-shirts.
Exclusive.
Signed
to this
posters.
Beautifully
unsigned
done.
Posters. Whatever you want. If you don't want a shitty signature on it, you don't have to have one.
You can get... tickets to our premiere screenings in New York and LA. Tyke and I will do Q&As.
For a little bit extra, we'll hang out with you briefly.
Awkward hangouts with us.
So,
imagine it'll be like this.
New Zealand, huh?
Yeah. We're recreating one here.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
But
you have to pledge first, Chris, to get this.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. No, you're right. I was trying to get a free premium.
Where's right the there. LA premiere?
The Arc Light.
Nice.
So, and that's going to be where the run is in LA.
Cool.
So it's going to play at the Arc Light.
Fantastic.
Love it.
So you can already book tickets at the Arc Light, I believe.
Just like what? Normally?
Yep, you don't even... It's not. That's not Kickstarter dependent.
Go to arclight.com. Buy a ticket.
I guess so.
Right now.
That. forward slash.
There's two forward slashes. Well,
they could be a cult. I don't know what that website is. Is it?
We've discussed that they might have Scientology ties, but.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I just meant Arclight.com. Is that actually
the
Arclight a movie theater?
Might actually be a cult.
Okay, and the Arclight.
But also. No, the theater itself.
Okay, we're at the playing at the cult theater, the Arclight.
Is there anything, how do you know when you're working on something, whether it's a film or a short film or a theater piece, or are you writing a song or whatever, how do you feel like, it's successfully, is it just based on people laughing, or is there something else that you shoot for when you're making something?
We shoot for rave reviews.
That's what we go for. Nothing less than 5 stars.
5 stars. 100%. 95% and up on Rotten Tomatoes.
In a Wellington-based newspaper. No, I think...
But actually, no joke, this film is 93 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Yes, and I said tomatoes. But it will probably be less one day. But right now, it's at 93.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very fresh.
It's pretty fresh.
Yeah. They don't get much fresher than that, Chris.
Well, I wish all the best things in the world for you. And it was really nice. Thank you for doing At Midnight last night. And I hope that we can hang out and have a meal or something at some point if you have time. But I'm sure you...
I'm just going to ask.
That's a reward on Kickstarter, too.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
A meal.
If we just had lunch...
Meal and an 1890s photo.
You know what would be fun? If we just had lunch, it'd be fine. But if I pledged like $1,000 or whatever to have lunch with you, it would be awkward. It would be shorter and it would be awkward.
And then we'd feel guilty and we'd just want to spend $1,000 on you.
No, don't waste that. No, don't do that. All right. Well, thank you for being here. And what we see in the shadows.
What we do in the shadows.
What we do in the shadows.
I was talking about a film I made.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Mine's
about coming up.
It's about werewolves. Oh. And it's called What We See in the Shadows because they have really good eyesight because they're, you know, they're werewolves. Did you guys make a one too? Did you make a movie?
We made a movie too.
What?
It's called What We Do in the Shadows.
That's so crazy.
We might have
What's yours about?
One of us is going to have to change.
I don't know.
It's about vampires.
Well, I thought of mine in 2004. When did you guys think of yours?
Five.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. I feel weird now.
Having mentioned that, we do have werewolves in our film, led by Rhys Darby as the alpha werewolf.
I am already tickled by that.
All right.
There has been talk of a spin-off film about the werewolves following Reese and his werewolf clan called What We Do in the Moonlight.
But that sounds like it's going to clash with your
film. Yeah, so we probably won't bother.
Well,
plus,
shit.
The way we work, it's going to take 10 years.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I'll probably sneak mine out in 9. So I got to go write it.
Ooh, just bit us to the line.
You know, there's some people who are going to actually take that seriously and be like, you ruined their sequel that they said they were going to do, and now they're not going to do it. So now
we're on At Midnight, we're in your Twitter chain, and some of the people do kind of talk like that, I noticed.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, people do. Mm. Some people take things very literally.
Hi, Alan.
Oh, yes, awesome. Yeah.
That guy just shit his pants.
That's fantastic.
Terrific. All right.
Yes, I got what I wanted. That has my name mentioned.
You can now leave the earth.
My work here is done. I can go, babies.
Oh, I thought he was a ghost. He was just trying to leave the earthly plane.
Oh, will you guys end the podcast by saying enjoy your burrito? Because you have nicer accents than I do.
Oh, yeah.
Please enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy your burrito.
That's real nice.
Was that understandable?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
Enjoy your burrito.
What are you saying? Are those words?
Oh, enjoy your burrito.
Oh, I know what that was. I understood that.
All right, good. Say it in Klingon.
Gardaska burritanka.
Oh, nice. Is that a real one?
No.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Hey listeners, it's Will Arnett. Our podcast, Smartless, has crossed a milestone that seemed unfathomable when we started nearly 4 years ago, as we've just released our 200th episode. Join us as we welcome the dynamic duo of hilarity, Steve Martin and Martin Short. You've seen them on screen together in The Three Amigos, Father of the Bride 1 and 2, and most recently, and only Murders in the Building. Both are comedic geniuses in their own right, but together they are always electric. And this episode of Smartless is no exception. I don't know if I've laughed more in a single episode than this one. We discuss their career arcs both separately and as a comedy team, how they met, who is more difficult to work with, and what motivates them today. Is Steve a better banjo player than Marty as a singer? Find out on this bicentennial episode of Smartless. Follow Smartless in the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Plus, you get to hear Sean cry. What a loser!